Which community are you from in London?
Edra.
I'll be there over the weekend. Speaking Thursday night in there. And then Sunday at this general program in Kinloss. Over in Manchester for Shabbos. Then I'm going to Hassel on Friday.
Yeah.
You know any friends of yours? I'm speaking after the 7:30 meeting. The 7:30 meeting, I think, study week or something.
Right.
7:30 meeting in the base.
It really means a lot to the modern Orthodox schools in London, where we have Ruben coming over with these sorts of programs. We don't necessarily get to hear those kind of views otherwise.
Okay, happy to do it. Okay, very, very interesting part. Just to help you place it, we're more or less, where are we? We're more or less around Simon Pei of Mamar Aleph. How does a religion evolve? What's ground zero? How do you prove religion? Very interesting, basic questions. And the king, almost naively, asks Yehuda Levi based on the two models he knows. What's the model of Christianity? A slow evolution where one person has some ideas and those thoughts take realm and start to become popular and accepted by people. When did that happen with Judaism? And then the other impression he has is Islam, where there's a very strong force politically that superimposes religion across the world, where Islam begins to conquer different countries. So how did Judaism become Judaism? So Yehuda Levi answers, well, that's not really what happens with Judaism. It happened pretty quickly. When you think about it, it's just beside to Har Sinai, it's a pretty quick process. And we were meant to come to Eretz Yisrael 11 days later. So it's all meant to unfold 3 months because, again, it's not something which human beings start. It's not a human convention. It's not a human initiative. It's a divine revelation. Divine revelation is the source, as we've said so many times. You can't prove it. It's not philosophical. It's not an idea. It has to be delivered by Hashem. Whereas everything Hashem delivers is instantaneous. He or he chashach. So get that out of your head, he says. It happens really quickly. Okay, so what happens? What proves it? So the Rambam, very famous Rambam in Yisrael the Atara, says that all the miracles that Moshe performs were not really to prove anything about religion. This miracle, that miracle, this makkah, this fancy magic act. They were all performed for necessity, litzarach. What proves Judaism is Har Sinai. That's not a miracle, that's direct encounter with Hashem. In the Kuzari, Yehuda Levi is a little bit different. He says that there are miracles that Moshe performed. It happened to our grandparents in Mitzrayim, in the Midbar. But there's a difference between miracles and between what happened as we evolved as a people. And there are two differences. They're related, but they're different. And that's what makes these events more verifiable and better able to prove religion. Number one, they're not these isolated magic acts where you go outside and say, I'm going to prove to you that God speaks to me by making a tree levitate, or turning the moon into the sun, or turning a goat into a cat. Or these are long, extended processes that take place over a duration. The makos took place over a duration of an entire year. There was ample warning, and there was tefillah for them to be removed. So these aren't just, as we would say, one-night stands or quick magic acts that could be attributed to witchcraft and magic. We're talking about Mitzrayim, etc. What made Mitzrayim and the miracles different? Second of all, they had historical impact. Typically, we think of miracles as occurring in a vacuum. I'll take you outside, prove that I'm a religious man, and I'll turn the mountain into a pile of dust. I'll take you outside and prove that God spoke to me, and I'll wave my wand and make the rivers reverse their direction. But here, aside from the fact there was a long process, they were part of historical context, and they led to verifiable, lasting historical changes. The two most important ones were that we were delivered from slaves into free men, and that was something we could live after the miracle had subsided. When the miracle had ended, we left Mitzrayim. Oh, by the way, I'm free. 5 months ago, we were slaves. Now we're free. How did that happen? Miraculously. Against all odds, militarily. It sounds a lot like Eretz Yisrael. It's a long process of miracles over 70 years, and it's part of history. They're very related about the two separate points. Whether the Jewish people lived in the desert for 40 years, being supported by HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a daily basis. Imagine going to sleep at night not knowing what you're eating tomorrow. Imagine going to sleep at night not knowing whether the serpents and the snakes were. So there was something that was verifiable. A miracle comes and goes, and then, okay, did it happen? Did it not happen? It's dubious, skeptical. These were part of a long process, and they weren't just a long process, but they were tethered to historical change that could be verified and lived after the moment. That is what made the miracles in Mitzrayim and in the Midbar the source of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's choosing us as a people. Remember, the two things which make the Jewish people unique, or not that we're stronger, smarter, richer, better, is that we have A, the ability to receive Hashem's direct speech, which we'll talk about in a moment, and B, we receive supernatural experiences, not just natural experiences. So what are Harsinai? Why was Harsinai necessary? Harsinai was necessary because even though all these miracles had proven Hashem's selection of us, and therefore everything He was going to deliver to us was going to be truth, can Hashem speak to us? Now, why can't Hashem speak to us? Well, you would think of it in moral terms, because I'm a bad boy. Why should Hashem speak to someone who's impure? But for philosophers, it's a real philosophical question. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eternal, infinite, transcendent essence all of a sudden become physical in speech and talk to Tzadok and talk to people at Har Sinai? How does that happen? So Har Sinai proved that Hashem speaks to man, and that Moshe was a secretary, and that Moshe didn't become, typically philosophy views Nevuah as inspiration. I become inspired morally, I become inspired intellectually, I start thinking, and that thought has to be supported by moral fitness. And then all of a sudden, once I start thinking about high ideas, then Hashem helps me. Hashem gives me divine inspiration. Hashem gives me divine muse. But divine muse means that I'm assisted by Hashem, but the source is a human being. If that's true, then Torah isn't timeless. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu is the source of Torah, he's assisted by Hashem. Hashem gives him inspiration. Hashem opens his eyes and reveals, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu lived 3,500 years ago. Times are very different. No internet, no cars. No. So whatever he says maybe has to be adjusted for 2019. But if Moshe is a secretary, and Hashem is delivering information directly, and Moshe is just writing down what he hears from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is timeless. Hashem doesn't live in time. Hashem isn't affected by human conditions. So it's not just a question theologically about the source of Torah, it's also a halachic question about the timelessness of Torah. So Har Sinai proved that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't generating these ideas with Hashem's assistance, but was listening to Hashem's voice directly. Why? Because we heard Hashem's voice directly. It was absolutely crucial that two things happened in our Sinai, that we hear Hashem's directly, so we say, oh, that's Moshe's, but that Moshe hears more. So Moshe can establish himself as an authority figure to deliver the rest of Torah. Without those two, our Sinai collapses. So we have to hear Hashem directly, and according to the Kuzari, we hear all the Aseres HaDibrot. It's a machlokas in the Midrashim, whether we hear the first two or all ten. The Levi says we hear all ten directly, and of course the Aseres HaDibros are like a synopsis of 613. The Gaonim put a lot of effort into reading all 613 into the 10. Look at Sadja Gaon, look at other Gaonim. So when we hear this, Aseres HaDibros, we had an innate sense of all Tariag Mitzvos directly from Hashem. So when Moshe then delivered or amplified a Mitzvah, oh, that sounds familiar, we heard it directly from Hashem in this Dibra or in that Dibra or in this commandment. But Moshe was able to hear that fire and see that fire and enter the fire and hear that voice more than we were. We had to give up. We had to cry uncle. It was too much for us. So Moshe's authority was established because he was able to hear Kodesh Baruch Hu more and with a greater duration. The question is, how does it happen? And this is Islamic fundamentalism. See, we see Islamic fundamentalism as a terror movement. But throughout history, Islamic fundamentalism was always claiming the Jewish people, even though you claim to be monotheists, you still think that Hashem is physical because He speaks to you. In Islam, God doesn't speak to man. It's a dream to Muhammad, and that becomes the baseline for certain information, but there's no direct revelation to man. And Judaism has Hashem speaking to man. Isn't speech physical? So the Kuzari says, no, because speech isn't physical. If I'm speaking to you now, are my fingers speaking to you? Is my tongue speaking to you? Is my nose speaking to you? Or my eyes speaking to you? Those are just the tools. What's speaking to you? My soul. My soul isn't physical. My soul in mind happens to be encased in a physical body. But speech is not something physical. Speech is something that's spiritual, but it's not affixed. The tools of speech are physical. But I can also have a computer speak. I can give words to a computer at the computer. I can have a robot speak. I can have a... So the fact that Hashem Baruch Hu spoke to us in Har Sinai doesn't mean that Hashem is physical. It just means you're reading speech incorrectly. And that's something I mentioned the other day. Yehuda Levi repeats it. The Torah doesn't demand that you believe in something absurd. You just have to reevaluate your presumptions and your assumptions. So it's absurd to think that Hashem could be physical. That's Christianity's failure. But the assumption that speech is physical is incorrect. Hashem can't be physical, but speech isn't physical, speech is. So just to summarize, the source of faith is the Makos and Mitzrayim. They're different from magic acts that can be attributed to witchcraft and hocus pocus. It's because they have a duration and they're part of historical context with real consequences. Har Sinai proved not just that Hashem develop supernatural behavior for us, but also that Hashem speaks to us directly. And I've seen that we heard Hashem's voice, ten dibros, for some Moshe hearing more. And speech, though it looks physical, has a feel that it's physical. It's not. Eating is physical. Drinking is physical. Sleeping is physical. Speech, something else. That's why when we sleep, we're still digesting, a process is still going on. When our intellect and our soul leaves our body, then the body no longer has cognitive speech. We have, obviously, animal-like speech, sleep talking, and things of that sort. Okay? Have a good day, everyone. Okay, just for the schedule, since I'm... I